They disappeared. And it wasn't too long ago that the world's focus was on India and Pakistan, big concern about tensions between those two countries, and largely over, inevitably, Kashmir. Then that kind of faded and disappeared, and it seems as though it's gone. Maybe not. Maybe recently there's more tension brewing again, and has been again in India and Pakistan, clashing over that territory known as Kashmir. Well, let's talk about that and a lot of other things in Asia. We're joined now by Imran Anwar, founder of Imran Net Services in New York. He's also a pioneer of internet email in Pakistan and a well-known media expert on India, Pakistan, and Southeast Asia. With us now to talk about a lot of things, and we'll start with India and Pakistan. Hi, Imran.
Hello, George.
And how are you today?
Very good. A little worried about the things that are happening around the planet and the globe.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I say it often, but it's so true that it always strikes me that these things, you know, our focus of attention moves around so fast, and sometimes understandably, because major events do spring up. But then things that we were so focused on a month, two, three, 6 months ago seem to, we lose, you know, when they lose the spotlight, it's as though they disappeared, and in most cases they have not, and certainly haven't gone away, and that would be true of the problems between and the tensions between India and Pakistan. Tell us what exactly is happening, as they have had more clashes over that territory known to most Westerners generically as Kashmir.
Absolutely, George. Very quick overview perhaps would be in order for our listeners. Pakistan and India, when they were separated at independence from Great Britain, and United India was broken into these countries, the idea had been that the Muslim majority areas of that undivided India would become the state of Pakistan, and the Hindu majority areas would become Hindustan, or what is now called India. Kashmir was kind of an odd state because it had a 97% Muslim population, but the governor of the state at that time, or the ruler of the state, was a Hindu prince. The population was not given a chance to decide their fate, as was supposed to be done, and he single-handedly opted for a union with India. That was not acceptable to the Pakistanis, and India, since that day, has claimed it that territory as integral to India. Pakistan claims it as theirs. And the Kashmiri people, basically being Muslim, are generally expected to side mostly with joining Pakistan. That was about 50 years ago.
We have one of those strange. Yeah, they went to war over this. One of the first clashes in the modern era between India and Pakistan. Almost as the British left India.
Absolutely.
And it was
almost like a deliberate gift that the British left, so that there would always be a mess and behind, so that people would miss the grand old Raj.
But since I was
not there at that time, I cannot comment on that.
In any case, it was about 1947. But
absolutely. They fought a couple of battles, during which time Kashmir is partly about, I would say, about one-third controlled by Pakistan and about two-thirds by India.
Well, I was going to ask about that because folks get confused. First of all, Kashmir, for many reasons, if you look at the history of India, is very, very emotional area, tied historically to India in an emotional way.
Yes.
But I assume the same could be said for the folks in Pakistan. But the reality at this point is, am I correct, that, as you mentioned, about a third, maybe a little more, of the region is controlled or governed by, or administered by, I think is what official write-ups generally say, by Pakistan. And then the other area, is that not, that includes Kashmir and an area called Jammu?
Absolutely.
That's administered or controlled by India, and that's the stalemate. And I'm explaining it quickly also, so I want to make sure I understand. It's the population, as you've said, is overwhelmingly Muslim, but so if they had a vote, they probably would go with Kashmir, but it's kind of the situation that we found, maybe in reverse a bit, but like Northern Ireland. If they voted there, the Protestant majority always won the vote and they stayed with England, but the fact is the Irish and the Catholic Irish still want to return to Ireland. So it's one of those very difficult to settle issues.
Right, but George, in this case, you do not have a local ethnic minority that is a 10 or 15% of the population.
Uh-huh.
You have a nation that's about 97% Muslim that is not being given a chance to have its say,
mm-hmm.
to be able to express its right of self-determination. So going back to what I was saying, when India and Pakistan fought these wars, the United Nations sort of stepped in. There was a line of control that is the unofficial border or breakpoint between the two countries, between the two parts, Azad Kashmir, which means free Kashmir, which is part of Pakistan, and the so-called occupied Kashmir, which is the part that is controlled by India. Of course, when you go to the other country, the names can be reversed easily. Now, the United Nations did go ahead and pass a resolution as far back as 45 years ago, saying that the people of Kashmir will be given the right to determine their own fate. And India quite clearly understood that this would mean that they would more likely side with Pakistan, and has refused to accept that for the last 45 years. They tried to increase the population of Indians or / Hindus there, for example, to try to counter that, but that was met with resistance, and that was also met with bloodshed, etc. Then they tried to quell that whole movement with a very strong military presence there, which actually sort of has backfired. Yes, it has helped control some of the freedom fighting elements and so on, but also the heavy-handedness of the Indian military has also led the common man on the street to want even more than before the right to determine their own fate.
What
India continues to refuse.
Now, of course, they were just talking like Mr. Vajpayee of India and Sharif, I believe, of Pakistan had been talking, and they pretty much, it seemed, had this thing. They had said that they were going to maintain a peace and make sure this thing didn't escalate and so on and so forth. Hardly had that been promised by both gentlemen when these recent events took place and began to escalate. Where does this leave us?
Absolutely. George, at any, even on the best of days, these two countries are enemies simply because of the state of Kashmir. Yes, religions play a part, and people remember the bloodshed of 50 years ago when millions were massacred as people moved from what was India into what is Pakistan and the other way. The point here was that India had always known that the United Nations passed this resolution, and India has always ignored that. Pakistan has always come knocking on the doors of Western and the United Nations powers, basically saying, we want justice for this area. That has always been ignored in the past. The reason was that the world can, there's no oil there, basically, is to put it bluntly, so nobody really cares what goes on there. However, India, which has always had some nuclear capability since 1974, upped the ante and almost brought about this whole crisis, which they may even be regretting right now, when they detonated some additional devices about 1 year ago. If you remember, I was in Pakistan
right,
at that time, when India had just detonated some devices, and Pakistan then, which had always been suspected of being a nuclear power, went ahead and detonated its own tit-for-tat nuclear devices. Suddenly the game has changed. Suddenly these are not just two countries. No matter how unstable the region was, if India and Pakistan went to war, yeah, China was affected, Russia was affected, Soviet Union and Iran and Afghanistan could be affected. But if you have two nuclear-capable countries who actually hate each other enough and also fear each other enough that they could actually take the first strike, that bodes a lot of ill for the whole planet. And so what is happening is that the whole world sat up and took notice, and you and I have talked about this in the past.
Sure.
What Pakistan is taking advantage of now is that in the local population of Kashmir, the Indian presence is a sore point, and they are very much against it. There's a lot of freedom fighting going on. There's a lot of insurgency, as India claims, which does have Pakistani support. As a Pakistani, I listen to the statements from the government of Pakistan that they do not support them. Yes, the Pakistani government will never be stupid enough to put in its own soldiers, etc., in there, and does admit to having moral and other support. I can assure you that the Pakistanis, as people, unrelated to their government's policies, are dedicated enough to the cause that there will be people who might even go across the border to fight. So it will not have to be official government policy for Pakistanis to be there. People can do it on their own, because, again, it's a very It's an open border, so to speak.
And we're all out of time on this one. Real briefly. Obviously you can't tell us how this is going to resolve itself, but what are we looking at here over the next few months?
Over the next few months, India is going to be very aggressive about trying to quell this this whole thing. But as I was reading the CNN website today, there's a severe downward spiral of morale in the Indian Army that is there, because they seem to realize it's a losing battle. So it's now a matter of somebody with the personality and some charisma to come into the Indian politics, fill this power vacuum that exists. Somebody who can come in and say, let's focus on the problems of this country. I don't care if I have to let go of Kashmir. And I am coming in at the request of the Indian people, so it's not even that I will lose my power or my popular support if I give up Kashmir. That is what can happen if somebody like Sonia Gandhi or somebody else fills the power vacuum. This problem can be solved in less than a week.
We will talk about it, Imran. As always, a pleasure, and thank you much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Imran Anwar, founder of ImranNet Services in New York, pioneer of internet email in Pakistan.